The rest of us, if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please? I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Children's Church is going to be really good today. They're going to be talking about donuts and bagels. I mean, how can you go wrong, right? So you might know, if you've been here the last few weeks, you might remember that I've been talking about being faithful to God and just reminding ourselves that what we do to God, do for God, is important, and that there's a reward at the end. And to not get weary while doing good, to keep on keeping on. Because in this world, last couple weeks I highlighted, I'm not going to go into it today, but things seem to be getting worse. And so if your faith is in the world and in the world's systems, this is a really hopeless time for you. Which our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, so our faith doesn't fade, our hope doesn't fade. Our reward is sure, and we count on something. So today, I want to start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It's all the way, the last two verses at the end. Because I talked about this, I kind of closed with this last week. So I just kind of want to pick up from there and then talk about our reward and the very reason why we have such a hope inside us. So Paul says to the Corinthian church in chapter 15, verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I like how the message says it. I'll just read it out. The message says, "With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort." Wow, isn't that awesome? Everything we do for God counts. It matters to him. It's never a waste of time or energy or effort. And sometimes when you're plodding along, especially if you're sowing into people's lives, you're investing into people's lives, and they seem to get worse, or sometimes you invest into someone for years and then they blow up, their marriage blows up, their family blows up, their drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, it still matters to God. I was told when I first got ordained, said in the ministry, I remember what Art Good told me, I'll never forget it. He said, "Faithfulness is up to me, fruitfulness is up to God." And if you can keep those things straight, you'll enjoy your whole relationship with God. If you get them mixed up, you'll be very frustrated and angry most of your life. That's what he told me, and I still think there's a lot of truth to that. So when Paul says, hey, with all this going on for us, we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Yay. I'm glad the victory isn't through Mike Young. You guys would be worried. I bet your prayer lives would go way up if your victory counted on me. Our victory is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With all this going for us, let's make sure we're standing our ground and that we're counting on the fact that everything we do for Jesus, for God, and the power of the Holy Ghost, it matters and it has great value. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, let's make sure we get this in perspective. What was Paul trying to say? I just grabbed the last two verses, but let's back up all the way to verse 50. Just so you can see what the context is when he says that we've got the victory through Jesus Christ, let's make sure that we're steadfast, immovable in this victory. Verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I think that's key. Sometimes we forget that in between now and heaven, we are going to completely change. We're not just going to be some kind of an improved version, or else God's just going to kind of like take the page, flip it over, and go, "Okay, all your sins are forgiven. Come on in." We're going to be totally different. Flesh and blood can't go into heaven. That's what this whole context is about. This is corruptible. It rots. When I die, this will rot, or it'll rot in the ground, or it'll be burnt up, but it's corruptible. I'm going to be changed into the incorruptible, and so will you. Paul spends all this time making sure we get it. And, you know, right now we're all trying to be better Christians, right? We all want to be more Christ-like. That's absolutely how it should be. That's called maturity. We're all working on our maturity. The more mature you are, the more Christ-like you are. What Paul's talking about here ain't that. Paul's talking about this supernatural thing that happens to a believer the instant you die or when Christ comes back, that we metamorphosize, we change completely from this earth suit to that heavenly being to last in heaven forever with Jesus Christ. Something that doesn't have no aches and pains, no sore backs, sore hips, sore knees, doesn't get cold, doesn't get hungry, doesn't get sunburned, doesn't get frostbit, right? All that junk is gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, we ought to get excited when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, for this deluxe glad bag, this earth suit, verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal's put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what's it there for? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a day coming when our transformation will be complete. We're not there yet. By faith we are, right? By faith we know the cross is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And everybody who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, all of our sins are forgiven. We're not trying to improve on that. It's not Jesus plus anything. That's enough. That's it. That will make the transformation happen. It's different from maturity. We're all working on maturity. Amen? Some days we do really good. Other days, not so much. Those are days we don't want written down. We don't want anybody looking at those days. But none of that matters. This isn't what we're talking about today. Paul's talking about, in that instant, the hope of glory that we carry with us everywhere. So when things are going crazy with politics, things are going crazy with COVID, things are going crazy with wars, things are going crazy with the economy, all this other stuff that it seems to be getting worse is very confusing. It's hard to have hope in. We can keep hoping in Jesus Christ. And the fact, the absolute truth, the unchangeableness, in a twinkling of an eye, this is how long a twinkling of an eye is. That's how fast. To me, that's really exciting. Because most of the time, I'm a pretty impatient person. Now, I can stick to things. My character is once I start something, I won't quit it. But wow, do I like quick change. Don't you guys like quick change? Like moving. Wow, is moving a pain in the neck. It's awesome when you get in your new house, right? But wow, the whole thought of having to pack all this stuff up in all the little boxes and then lug it all the way over there and get the boxes in the right room and bring the furniture in. It's like it never ends, right? 6 years later, you go down in the basement, there's four boxes there and never opened. It's like, ooh, that stuff's really important. Glad I brought that over. This ain't that. This is how long this is going to be. Done. Wow, I can't wait. I'm excited. This is the hope that Paul tells us. Stick to the work. Keep doing it. But abound with this idea. There's going to be an instant in your future when you change completely from what you are right now to a heavenly being in the presence of God. There's going to be an instant. Whether that's when you die or when Christ comes back. I'm all for Christ coming back soon. How about you guys? I'm excited about Jesus coming back. Me and Jeanette, we kind of tease each other. And it's like, well, I got to go first because I don't want to have to deal with life without you. We've been married 31 years. It's like, no, I'm going first. You're not going first. Okay, how about this? We go together. Okay, so what we've talked about, if we get into, if God is gracious enough to us and we get into like our late 80s, our early 90s, we're going to turn into these old people that do all the crazy stuff. We're going to like jump out of planes and do all this other real risky stuff. So we go together. So that's our plan. If Jesus tarries, we're going to be extreme elders. Might be a show on TV. So this is what Paul tells the Corinthians. This is what he tells the Thessalonians. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you've been a Christian very long, these verses are going to be very familiar to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 idea or view of this is really amazing, and it's kind of like Paul's talking about this idea. And now the next couple of chapters that I'm going to talk about, different passages I take you to, it's almost like we have two different views of this theological concept that Paul gave us in Corinthians. In Thessalonians, it's kind of like a human's view. I think Paul's trying to get us to see what it's going to look like from the view we have right now. And then we're going to read something from what Jesus says in Luke. And it's kind of like Jesus gives it from heaven's perspective. Paul's perspective is from a human's view, feet on the earth, in time. Like, in the moment it happens. Jesus' view is kind of like from heaven throughout with a look of eternity, and how his judgment and how his redemption happens. So first off, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, "Now I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren." That ignorant is an interesting word. It can mean one of two things. Either A, you don't know through lack of information. Paul's like saying, well, I don't want you to be ignorant because nobody ever told you. But then there's also the one through I don't care, which ignorant means you're ignoring something. You already know, but you're ignoring it. So, you just, I mean, when you were a teenager, your dad ever tell you, quit being ignorant. Anybody? I'm the only one the dad ever told that? Okay. That's what Paul's saying. Don't be ignorant about this. Now, if nobody's ever told you, I'm going to tell you. But if somebody's already told you, then you need to apply this to your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." Don't be ignorant. Act like you ain't got no hope. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18. "Therefore," what's it there for? "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So even as the time we live in seems to be dark and getting darker, it's bad and getting worse, and just by any measurable you want to look at, in these days we have to comfort each other. We got to stoke the fire in each other and go, hey, come on. I know it's bad. I know. Look at all this stuff going on here. Even something like the Olympics, which when I was growing up was only great. Right? You just root for your favorite, and there's usually one or two people that are really going to set the records or get a bunch of gold or something. So everybody, now it's like, it's all so much cheating and so much just angry stuff. People trying to promote this, promote that. People slamming the nation that sent them there, that even the only reason they're there is to represent this nation. And they get up there, and when they're going to get their medals, they want to show how much they hate that nation. It just blows my mind. So even something as simple that used to be enjoyable as Olympics is now, it seems like it's just been dirtied and ruined by the time that we live, the age that we live in. Almost everything seems to be like that from when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, except for one major thing. I didn't know Jesus back then. I was absolutely ignorant back then. Since then, now, I've learned something. I've learned I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. My hope rests in Jesus. Not in the Olympians. Not in the judges of the Olympians. Not in the NFL. Not in Congress. Not in the president or the next president or Congress. My hope is all in Jesus Christ. So Paul tells us, you're going to get changed, and it's going to take this long. In that instant, you're going to be completely transformed into a heavenly being. If you're still alive, this thing is going to happen in an instant. That's how quick this is. In an instant, you're going to hear this trumpet. You're going to hear Jesus shout. I don't know what a Jesus shout sounds like, but I think it's going to be unconfusable with anything else. An hour later, people aren't going to go, hey, did you hear something? I wonder what that was. This is going to change everybody's everything. For us who believe in Jesus Christ, filled with the hope of glory, there's going to be a blink, and all of a sudden we're going to be in the sky with the people that had died before us. That's what the Bible says, right? I like how in Corinthians, when we started all this, Paul says, hey, I'm going to tell you, it's a mystery. But it's kind of like the even Paul, who had all this revelation, when he starts talking about these things, said, it's a mystery. He couldn't just lay it all out and draw a picture and go, it absolutely is like this, and then this and this. He's like, this is so amazing. This is so otherworldly. This is so heaven. So wow. Some of it's still a mystery. In a blink, I'm going to be up in the air. I'm going to be totally different. And then people that have already died and gone before me are going to be right there with me in their new heavenly bodies. Well, new to me, not new to them. They've been in them already. Right? It's going to be like, what do you look at first? What do you try to even think about first? Oh, by the way, Jesus is going to be leading this crowd. So before I'm impressed with my heavenly body or your heavenly body, there's Jesus. And I can see him face to face. Wow. What's going on with the economy? Who cares? If we keep our perspective right, if we're really encouraging each other with the hope that we have in us, what's going on in the Olympics today? I have no idea. Watch how long. That's how long it's going to take for me in my brand new body. My complete, total, eternal, heavenly body. Dunk. Oh, man. How fast was the 50-yard dash today at that? I don't know. Watch this. Dunk. That's how fast. I mean, you can get excited when you really fixate on the stuff and you start talking about it. Doesn't your hope just go right through the roof? Because we kind of get reoriented, refocused. We get our right perspective so we can go through this life and go, oh, all this stuff's temporary. This stuff's corruptible. Bing. But pretty soon I'm going to be incorruptible. I can't wait for it. So Paul tells the Corinthians about this, and he gives them an image. Then the Thessalonians, he kind of gives them the earth's view. Now let's see what Jesus says about this. Because as we talk about the rapture and we talk about end times, I truly personally believe that we're in the end days of the end times. Does that mean he's coming back today? I hope so. Tomorrow? I hope so. I'm not telling you to do this or do that because I know for sure Christ's coming back in 3.5 weeks. I'm not saying that. But for my beliefs and my understanding of the Bible, it sure looks like this whole thing's wrapping up sooner rather than later. Amen? And so if that's the case, and you talk to 2 or 3 Christians, the next question that comes up is, do you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Which is fancy for saying, well, do you think we're going to have to go through trouble before Jesus comes back? Or are we going to have to go through, like, some of the trouble before Jesus comes back? Are we going to have to go through all of the trouble before Jesus comes back? When do you think that rapture is going to happen? And you got all these different views and all that. For me, I try to keep it simple. What did Jesus say? Because I know a lot of people start quoting their pastor and they'll start quoting a TV show and start quoting a DVD set that they saw or a book they read. Let's just keep it simple and quote Jesus. Our hope's in Jesus. Amen? So Jesus said, when rapture happens, it's going to be like two different things. In the same passage, Jesus says, that day when rapture happens, it's going to look like this on the earth, and it'll be just like two other events that already happened in the past. I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he makes things simple so I can understand them. How about you guys? Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. You'll see what I mean. One of the things that makes me think of how these are the end times and they're getting worse and we may be really close to wrapping all this up. If we're not, then I'm still going to live with a mindset that I'm going to share Jesus with as many people as I possibly can until the very day I die. So when I'm 92 and I'm jumping out of that plane, I'm going to be telling everybody on that plane about Jesus Christ. I can't think of a single nation in the whole world right now, certainly not America, not Israel, no other nation, that's actually seeking the Lord at the government level. You read about it in the Bible, right? Israel would go back and forth as a nation. They'd worship God. They set up the temple. All of them worship God, were seeking God. Then they'd backslide. Then they'd come back. Right now it's backsliding because Israel is not, as a country, in their government, seeking God Almighty. They do not. You can't say that. America is not a Christian nation. We are founded on Christian principles, but you cannot say that we are a Christian country with our government trying to bring us closer to God. Nobody would describe America as such. I don't know of any nation. All the key nations that used to be super Christian, like Britain was for a while, America was for a while, even Germany had a little bit, South Korea was known for sending out missionaries. If you look at them now, and I'm saying at a government level, not the church in it, the nation in its government, I don't know of any nation that's trying to push on to God at this point. So I think a lot of the main things that the Bible talks about for end days, if we haven't fulfilled it yet, it could be very soon. So saying that, sure you're ready for the rapture. If it happens this afternoon or if it happens 35 years from now, I want you guys to be ready and know the truth, what the Bible says. So first off, you got to have faith in Jesus Christ. So whether you're here today or you're listening online or you're in the parking lot listening, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to put faith in Jesus Christ. And it's so simple. People think, well, I got to go to church or I have to hear this message or I need to know more. You don't need to know more. You need to know that Jesus was born on Christmas morning to a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died a horrible death on the cross, and he was buried in the tomb for 3 days. On that third day, he came back to life. If you believe in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, if you believe he was who he said he was, and you put your faith in him and ask him to forgive you your sins, that's all it takes to believe in life after death and you getting that heavenly body and meeting the rest of us up in heaven. It's as simple as that. And it's the most important thing any person can ever do. Put their faith in Jesus Christ and ask for their sins to be forgiven. So, number two, somehow we've got to encourage each other. We can't do this alone. Somehow we've got to encourage each other to stand strong in the midst of dark times, in the midst of what seems like trouble and getting worse. In the midst of this, we got to encourage each other to live out of this hope. So look at what Jesus says about this. Luke 17, verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here or look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day." Again, back to that twinkling of an eye thing is going to happen. Verse 25. "But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." This is key. First time that this happens, similar to what it's going to look like when we are raptured out of here. Verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So if you can just hold your finger there, verse 31. He just says, in this day, it's the Pharisee, the guy that's big on all the law and the legalities, all this, that he questions, says, so how are we going to know when all this wraps up? And he says, well, first off, I don't think it's just going to be like, I heard something big's happening up in Rockford. Let's all go to the service up there next week because I think Jesus might be up there. I think something huge has happened up there. I think it's kind of like rapture. Something big's going on. No, it's actually in Israel. Let's all go on a tour over to Israel, see something really special going on because they have this really anointed guy. No, hold on. It's over in Georgia. Let's go down to Georgia next weekend. And well, it doesn't come by observation. Jesus says, let me just make this very clear. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. It's already inside you. If you have faith in the Son of God, the kingdom's already inside you. He said, be very clear. Even when they say, hey, come look at this. Hey, come look at that. Don't fall for it. That's where he starts out with this. Don't fall for all the stuff, the shenanigans. It's already inside you. You have all that you need. He says, just like it was with Noah. Now, you guys all know the story about Noah. He was told, build the ark because it's going to rain. It never rained. There was no boats. So people ridiculed him for many, many years while him and his boys built the boat. And these guys were out there. It was like a carnival atmosphere. These guys, it was horrible. It was all backslidden. That's why God told Noah to build the ark in the first place, because I'm going to clean this place out. Only the people that believed got on the boat. Jesus says, just like it was with Noah, the storm didn't come while the boat was half built. The storm didn't come when there was no boat. It came after the boat was built and they were safely in. They were taken out of harm's way, and then the flood hit and judgment fell. Jesus says, and just like it was with Lot. Now, Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was horrible. God said, I'm going to go down there and judge it. He even told his good buddy Abraham, this is what we're going to do. We're going to judge this place. Abraham says, well, if you found 50, would you? Nope, not if I found 50. What about if you had 25? Nope. What, 20? Nope. What about, he gets them all the way down to 5. He says, if there's 5 guys in there, 5 righteous men, I won't torch the place. He says, okay, goes down there, finds one. So he takes the one with his family out of the town, gets them safely out of there. Jesus says, on the day that Lot left, ba-woom, judgment hits. So when you ask me what Jesus meant by these two illustrations of believers being taken out of judgment's way and then judgment falling, I would say rapture happens pre-tribulation time. That's what Jesus said, right? That's why I'm basing it on what Jesus said. Verse 31, this is what, back to, remember, always keep your eye on Paul saying it's a twinkling of an eye. Verse 31, in that day, he who's on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there'll be 2 men in one bed, and one will be taken, the other one left. 2 women will be grinding together, the one will be taken, the other left. 2 men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. In the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, people are going to be missing. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 37, and they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Which in that culture and at that time, they would have thoroughly understood what most of us already know. You watch a nature program, when there's a carcass out there, the vultures, the eagles all come, they find that carcass naturally. A always equals B. And Jesus said, this isn't something you're going to have to try to figure out. If you're born again, you will be drawn to the Lord in a twinkling of an eye. Boom, gone. That's just how it is when you're born again in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So let me start trying to wrap all this up and put it all together. Something that we can use this week as we go out trying to share the hope. There's no special place or speaker that's going to help you into rapture. The kingdom of God is already inside you. In Hebrews, Paul says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. We carry all three of those already inside us. So when Jesus said, don't go looking around for something special, don't go trying to find some entertainment, some razzmatazz that's going to help you into heaven. It's not there. It's already inside you. All you need is the faith that you already carry inside you in Jesus Christ. All you need for rapture. So no matter what anybody else is saying, don't fall for it. And another thing that I just want to kind of lay this here at your feet. I've been asked many times over the years, what do you think about these people that live their life full of sin, and then when they're on their hospital bed, right at the end, the doc says, well, you only got 6 hours to live. You better put your stuff in order. And then they quick repent and they get saved. What do you think about all that? You think they ought to be able to get saved? Can I just tell you that repentance is a gift from God? Repentance is not a logical decision. If repentance was a logical decision, you could explain the gospel to anyone, to everyone, and they'd immediately get saved. If it was logic. But repentance is actually a gift. And so when God grants us repentance, we either respond or we reject. And every time you reject God, every time you say no, your heart gets a little bit harder. And so if you were a person that's going to say, well, I'm just going to have my fun, I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. I'm having my fun. And then when I get older, or when I see the end's close, then I'll clean up my act and I'll say whatever I got to do and I'll go to church. And this isn't that, folks. God judges us by our heart. Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. People think it's just a confess in your mouth. Well, I'll just say Jesus Lord and I get it. That's not it. You've got to really believe in your heart. And so when people say, well, I'll have time, all of these things that I read today, you can see it's an instant. It's a blinking. All these people that would think like that, they're absolutely betting everything they have that Jesus is not coming back soon. Jesus will not beat them to the punchline. They're going to live as long as they want to live, and then when they're way old, ripe in old age, then they're going to make that decision and slide into heaven. That ain't it. Probably most or some of us are going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Did you ever think about that? Maybe not me, but maybe you. Maybe most of us in this room, especially younger people in this room, you're going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Nobody's going to be able to go, okay, I saw some people disappear. What was that I was hearing way back in like 2021? I heard something about if you believed in Jesus, then you'd be part of this rapture. There's none of that. Blink, done. Blink, it's done. If you're not gone, you're stuck. Whoa. So how do we wrap all this up? What's the Lord saying to us today? What do I believe? What do I think? I think as times get darker and darker, which sometimes there's just slopes in economies and stuff. You can look at the history of America. Things have gotten better and worse, better and worse. Had nothing to do with end times. So maybe I'm completely off. Maybe Jesus doesn't come back for 100 years. Okay, the answer's still the same. Let's encourage each other in the hope that we have. You know, some people, they walk up to each other and they got fancy handshakes and they do this or high fives or hit chest bumps and all this stuff. Christians, we could go up to each other and just go. Nobody else in the room would know what we're talking about. It's like, what? Did you just wink at me? Yeah, but I used both eyes. Let's encourage each other with this. Even maybe stuff's going to turn around and it's going to be good. Man, the president and the Congress are going to get their act together. All the stuff we've been praying for is going to happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was wrong. I'll celebrate and party with you. Absolutely. But if that doesn't happen and we're here for a while and it gets worse, let's encourage each other. Let's fill each other with the hope that there's a blink coming up and we're all going to be out of here. And until then, we can still go by where I started and Paul said, with all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground. And don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. Right? Man, we got this thing. I'm excited. Oren comes in just about every week now with his fishing stories. Makes me want to fish more, not in a boat, neither. I can't wait until the other side shows up. Like Matt brings in his friend that he just led to the Lord. This dude, when Matt told me yesterday at the men's breakfast, he says he sat down with his girlfriend and this guy. And she said, yeah, he's an atheist. Matt says, well, he's probably not atheist. Probably just an agnostic. Which an atheist doesn't believe in nothing, no how. That's what I used to be. An agnostic says, well, there's probably a higher power up there and we just don't kind of get it. But the two are hugely different. If you can move someone over being an agnostic, now you just have to define the higher power. Where an atheist, you need a miracle from God to hit this knucklehead so it'll lighten up. If he's as dense as I used to be. So I just appreciate you going out on the limb like that and being so bold, because that's what it's going to take nowadays. People are dying and going to hell. But we got the hope. We got the eternal hope. Amen? Well, I'm going to pray for all of us. And let's just agree together. Let's all reach out as best we can with our faith. And let's ask for God to do something in our midst. So as we leave this building, we can take the promise of Jesus Christ with us. And we can be fishers of men, the promise that Jesus gave us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for giving us your Bible, giving us your word, making it so simple that we can understand it and we can do it. It's not some high and lofty thing that only one or two people on the planet can even hope to fulfill. But all of us, no matter our background, no matter our education, our families, no matter what we came out of, all of us can share your hope with a dying world. And I thank you for that so much. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing on every man, woman, and child that's in this building this morning. Every person that's here now, I pray that you would stir their heart with faith. I pray that you would open their eyes to see marvelous things. And I pray that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lord, in the book of Acts, I find three places where Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, this is a mystery to me. I don't understand. But I just know every time that Peter was refilled, amazing things happened. And so I pray this morning, this Sunday morning, August 1st, 2021, would you give us a fresh refilling of the Holy Ghost, whether we've been saved for 6 months or for 35 years. Lord, would you refill us from top to bottom? Would you recapture us with this living hope that we fell in love with on that very first day? And Father God, I ask now, in Jesus' name, that you would make divine appointments for people around us where we can go fishing, where we can throw out little pieces of hope and truth, and that we can then bring people to you. Make us fishermen and fisherwomen of God. I bless your people into your purposes and plans for their life. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Well, God bless all of you. We got coffee right across the hall. We even have some leftover fruit from yesterday, donut holes, and I think there was one more thing. So I just want to encourage everybody to come on over, and we can fellowship and eat some stuff and have a good time. God bless you.